Hey everyone, thank you for coming. We're so glad you came. Welcome to 12 weeks to a way of life that works. What we have been talking about has been very simple and very foundational, meaning the foundation upon which you are going to put your house is going to make all the difference about whether that house stands. And we used to live out in East Hampton, and I remember looking at one of the beautiful houses. It was right up the street from the Jackson Pollock house where we lived, about a mile up the road. And it was a beautiful, it was a gorgeous house, every room done. I mean, in the kitchen, there was room to dine for 17 people if you felt like making, you know, duck a la orange one Saturday afternoon, inviting everybody you know. There were drapes. It was so colorful and beachy. And the interesting thing was, in the living room, there was a trap door. And we said, what's underneath the trap door? And they said, oh, nothing, nothing. I said, well, does it lead to a basement? Oh, no, no. They said, that's really nothing. We should be having a carpet over that, and we will. Certainly after I asked, I'm sure they would. And so as it turned out, when they went out of the room, the realtors went out of the room, of course, so me. I was like, what's under there? There was no way I was going to not know what was under there. So I went under there, Kat and I went over there, and we opened it up, and it was sand. The house was built on sand. There was no foundation to this house at all. The house was gorgeous. It was going for $2.3 million, but it was sitting on sand. How long was this house going to stay this house before it started doing this? Because it was by the water. Without a foundation beneath the life we lead, the first big storm that comes, the first wave that hits us, the first big wind, we're out of there. And we think, oh, man, I can't believe this happened to me. But the wind comes. And the story says the wind comes because the wind must, because that's what it does. Do you know, in a story, it's called an inciting incident. Not an exciting incident, an inciting incident. And what an insight. You're going to love it conceptually, trust me. You're not going to love it when it comes knocking on your door. Conceptually, an inciting incident is the incident in your life that comes that moves you into the story of your life. While you're sitting around watching your life and watching other people's lives, thinking, whew, that was a close call. I'm glad that wasn't me. I'm glad. I'm sorry for you, but I'm so glad it didn't happen to me. The inciting incident comes, sweeps you off the couch or the barca lounger, and throws you into your life in action because you don't have a choice but to act. And the reason it does that is because of this. All of life is a movement toward our perfection, meaning our wholeness. And what that means is all of life is interested in us writing a better story of our life. Because the story of our life is not about the car we buy, nor about the things we accumulate, nor about the bills we pay for the things that we've accumulated, that we have purchased. The story of our life is why we're here. It's what we're here to do. It's who we're here to be. And when we forget or get lost along the way or say, stop, I don't want to be involved, what life does in its effort to move us into what it calls perfection, which is wholeness. And last week we talked about what's on the other side of that wholeness. If it was just wholeness, we say, you know what, I'd take a little less wholeness and a little more calm in my life. Who wouldn't trade out a little bit of wholeness? But here's the thing about wholeness. There's no happiness without wholeness. There's temporary happiness, but there isn't the kind of complete happiness, perfect happiness, the Course in Miracles tells us, that all of life is a movement towards our perfect happiness. Those inciting incidents that sometimes are very exciting, when we land in a hospital or land flat on our back or something happens or somebody breaks up with us or somebody throws us out of our apartment or whatever, they turn out to be very exciting. But they are inciting in that they push us in to the drama of our life. And here's what the Dalai Lama says. He says, when something like that happens, he'll call it crisis, but in a story, in a good story, the story really doesn't happen until something, an inciting incident happens. That's when the story gets going. If it's all, everybody's getting along, and everybody's nice, and it's all harmonious, we're walking out of that theater asking for our $12.75 back. It's like, this is like the most boring movie I have ever seen. The inciting incident he will call crisis. And what he says, the Dalai Lama, is in crisis, people have an option. And they choose one of the two options. They either go up or they go down. Those are our two options. Now, what we've been talking about is in order to get to that perfect happiness, in order to get to the solution to our one problem, and that's where week one started, our one problem, we have to know what the problem is. And if you missed week one, I'm sorry. You will never know what that problem is. There are other people in the room who do, but we can't reveal it because it was only revealed during that 1 week and it has expired. The answer has expired. The problem is, the one problem that we have is separation from who we truly are. That's not a religious issue. It's not a spiritual issue. It's our issue. If we do not know who we are, we walk around afraid of everything that's going to happen because we are not connected to anything deeper than just our clothing, our name, the strength in our hands, and what's going on in our memory. So finding who we are and holding fast to who we are gives us access to a strength, to a wisdom, to a connection to something changeless that allows us to weather whatever the storm it is, and not only weather it, transmute that experience into an experience that makes us go up instead of down. And then the story begins. Now, the only way we're going to ever be able to hold an inciting incident, which we know and have got to know is life moving us into a better story of our life. The best story is not at the end of your life you existed and you paid your bills on time. That is not a very good story. It's not a good story as stories go. You wouldn't read that book. You wouldn't buy that book. It would not be on your Kindle. It would not be on your Kindle. And then she paid her Con Ed bill on time after 80 years. You go, Dolores, you go. Who would read this book? That's not the greater story. The greater story is allowing life, right? We're going back a couple of weeks, allowing the ocean, if you know you're a wave in the ocean, allowing the ocean to carry you. The Tao Te Ching wants you to see it as a flow of water so you know you're being carried. You're not being carried away or crashed against the rocks because life is unfair and random and stupid. You're being carried into a better story. You're being carried into your wholeness. You are being carried into what they call perfection, which lands us in perfect happiness. Because what needs to come out of us can only come out of us after an inciting incident has forced us to stand in hot water, and like a tea bag, we have no idea how strong we are until we are put in hot water. And none of us want to be put in hot water, and yet, how in the world do we get what's in hiding out of us? How do we find out who we are? How do we find out what our courage is like and our creativity and our abilities unless life helps press them out of us? The author Donald Miller says, my life became completely a bore the moment I started having to make a living. Because his whole life was over and it all became about how much money can I make and what can I buy and then what can I do and how can I afford it and what can I get more and how do I pay more bills. All of the life he lived before was gone in order to make a living. And what life is concerned with, the better story is about making a life. That's where our story is. That's why we're here. That's why we came. That's why we incarnated. That's the purpose. So last week when we talked about You need to burn your ships in order to advance in your life, because you can't go backwards and forwards simultaneously. You have to make a decision. The son of the shepherd, when he discovered in truth he really was the son of a king, had no choice but decide that he was truly the son of the king. He had to give up his old identity as the son of the shepherd. Because if he didn't give up his identity as the son of the shepherd, he couldn't enter into his new life as the son of the king, which it turned out he truly was. That was last week. And we need to do that same thing. We need to burn the ship that says, I am a lonely wave in a lonely ocean, and I'm all alone, and I have to protect and defend myself at every turn. Page one, Tao and this world. Tao, we could call life. We could call the life force. We could call God. We could call cosmic mind. Call it what you will. They call it Tao, T-A-O. Tao and this world. So all of life and this world, everything you see, peopled by 10,000 different things, experiences, people, things, animate and inanimate, Tao and this world seem different, but in truth they are one and the same. The only difference is in what we call them. Man, when we dig down and totally get what it's saying, it's going to change a lot of things, and I'll tell you why. If all of life is happening right here in our life, right in front of me, the knock on the door, the thing the person just said to me, the inciting incident, whatever, that means that life itself, intelligence itself, God itself is inside every experience that happens to you. And it is working on our behalf to help us create the greater story of our life. If we don't know that, we are like the person who goes into a field of wildflowers and says, look how beautiful. Oh, I love these flowers. I think I'll go pick some. And they go in and they pick a wildflower. Oh, look how beautiful. And this one, oh, look how beautiful. Pick up one that's a rose, gets pinched with a thorn, thinks, ah, damn it. I can't believe this happened. I hate that. Goes to another one, very beautiful. Oh, this is pretty. Smell this. Oh, look at the colors. Love that. Hits another rose with a thorn, hits a bramble bush with some thorns. Now your fingers are kind of pricked. Now you got blood on your fingertips. You're loving the flowers, but you forgot why you came into the field, because now you are all focused about the thorns. Oh, what if there's a thorn there? What if there's bramble bush? I better get out of here. Oh my God, this really hurt. I hate that. Who can I tell? The minute this starts happening, you begin being focused on the thorns and you forgot why you came into this field to begin with. That is our life. Exactly. That's what happens. Some stuff pricks us, or some pricks prick us. Right? Right? It happens. Not just because this is New York. I would say that wherever I was. We were in London last year. I would say it in London too. Things happen, and we get bloodied, and we get battered around, and it hurts. But what happens is we take our eyes off the big picture. We put our eyes on the thorns, and we live there. That's where we live. And the moment we're living in a place of, I got to defend myself against being attacked, I got to protect myself, the next time we are in that place, our story gets this small. It fits in a little Tiffany box that you can put an engagement ring in, and now you are engaged to your broken ego. Right? Man, because that marriage is rocky. To the part of you that says, oh, you better watch out. Oh, this could happen. Oh, that could happen. Oh, that happened before. Oh, that might happen. Oh, what he did to me. It is a list, a laundry list of grievances so long that there is no end to the grievances. And on the other side of all these grievances, we are told, is not silence. On the other side of all these grievances, our long list of grievances against the thorns that hurt us in our life, that we have turned in to our story, is a miracle. And that's outrageous. We put down the grievances, we don't then just get a little peace of mind. We put down those grievances. What that means is we take off the engagement ring to the part of us that is broken. I am, this is going back 20 something years. I'm in my apartment on Park Avenue South, my first apartment that I had where I was single for like 8 minutes. And I'm in my apartment, I take off my glasses for a moment and I think, oh, I'm just gonna take them off for a moment. Let me just put them in my back pocket. Everybody with glasses like, oh, bad idea. I put them in my back pocket, of course, I totally forget. Phone rings, sit down. I get up. I pull out my glasses, and they didn't break exactly. They just kind of fractured, you know, like the new windshields do on cars. They don't really break at all. They just crack and shatter and remain in place. And for the rest of the day, oh, that was so much fun. I put on my glasses, and I looked at the world through 1,000 different fragmented pieces, and it was hilarious because everything I looked at, including my own self in the mirror, was like shattered into shards. All I could see through my glasses was the brokenness of everything, the brokenness of everyone, the brokenness of my own self. And while that's hilarious when you live alone, walking around in kooky little fractured glass, because, you know, you're alone, you need to entertain yourself, and there's nobody there to laugh at your jokes, so you got to make up shit all by yourself to keep yourself entertained on those lonely, cold nights. I'm walking around, it's hilarious. But it's not hilarious when you're engaged to the part of your nature that is the smallest part of your nature, the son of the shepherd. When you're engaged to the smallest part of your nature, which is the wave that doesn't know it is a wave made up of the ocean of consciousness. It is not a hilarious and wonderful time when you're looking out into the world and you are married to a part of yourself that shows you broken people, broken experiences, broken relationships. And you know what all those grievances are? They are moments in time when we got pricked by a thorn. And we got hurt to different degrees of hurt. And we recall them up. That's what resentment is. It's a re-feeling so we can get that full enjoyment of hating them all over again. That's what resentment is. Not only did I hate you then, I hate you now. And you begin to feel it. It's almost like it's in your stomach and it begins to boil up if you let yourself just think about it. What they did. And there's a joy in that. Let's not pretend that, oh gosh, that's not me. We're just going to be judgmental. That's not what I do. We all do that in the privacy of our mind. And sometimes we're the ones that we have resentments against. All those bad things we did, all those shameful things we did that maybe even nobody noticed, but we did, we go over them. There is a place in us, Eckhart Tolle spent the entire New Earth talking about this concept, the broken ego. My word broken, not his. He calls it the mad ego, the insane ego. I call it broken. Why? Because every time you look through its eyes, you're looking through its eyes and you're seeing something broken. You're seeing something fractured. You're seeing something wrong. You're seeing something missing. And the problem isn't with out there. The problem is with in here. And we don't know that because we actually do believe we live in a broken world with broken people where broken shit happens, and we are probably number one broken of all. And the problem is we aren't. That's the message of what this new foundation is about. That's why you've got to build your house on top of a foundation that's true. Because if it's not true, a wind's going to come along in your life and knock that foundation down, or knock that house down, because it wasn't built on something that was true. And I'm not talking about a truth from 1 million years ago. I'm talking about a truth that's true for you. And if we don't ask what is true for me, we don't know. So what have we been doing this whole month is talk about what can we connect ourselves up with that is real, that is true, that is changeless, that is indeed who I truly am. Because if we have only one problem, which is we're trying to do it all by ourselves, then there's one answer. How do we not do it all by ourselves? What is the first step we take towards getting united with the truth of us that's unbroken. Our job is to find out who we truly are, because beneath our list of grievances about everything and everyone is a person, us, who's totally whole. The difference, as we said weeks ago, is between the small self and the great. That great self is already who we are. The son of the king was the son of the king, even though he masqueraded as the son of the shepherd. He was always the son of the king. So when I was in a relationship for 2 years, and I bought a house, I'll tell you my sad story. Yeah, I've got a grievance, and I got an audience for my grievance. That's helpful. And you paid to hear my grievance, right? You imagine how wealthy we'd be if everybody we told our grievances to paid us? Mm. Do you not love that? That'll be $25, please, because that was a good one, right? I'm involved with this girl for 2 years. We buy a house together, blah, blah, blah. And we live happily ever after for exactly 2 years, which really I knew the first weekend it was a big mistake, but I so didn't have a skill in the world. I moved in and I thought, God, this is so wrong. I didn't know how to just take my stuff and move out and cut my losses, right? I didn't have that kind of bravery or courage yet. So 2 years later, when we separated, I said, you know, we're separating all the stuff, and this might not be the right moment, but we're going to have to take a moment. We're going to have to talk about, you know, selling the house and dividing it, the proceeds. And she said, oh, she said, you mean my house? And I said, no, actually, I mean our house. Oh, she said, that's interesting, because this is my house. So here's what happened. What happened was, when it came time to sign the papers, we both ponied up with our pens in our hands and money from the bank, putting it out. Except she said, you know what? I don't think it's a good idea for you to come into my office to sign, because if they know that we're together as a couple, I might lose my opportunity to have them support me and pay for me to go to law school, which is what was happening. So it'll be so much better if I sign for both of us, and you just, I know, right? Right, talk about not having a clue. I was like, oh, okay, that sounds so good and fair. Here, take my money, honey. I know, all of you are groaning. You don't even know her. You weren't even there, and you get it. So we get to this place. She goes in. She signs the paper. You need to hear this part of the story because it's the best. This happened in the first 6 months of us being together. Why is that important? Because it's while we were still allegedly in love. While we were in love, she was planning for the eventuality of when this day came that it would all be in her name. She worked in a law firm. She was studying to be a lawyer. She was a paralegal. She loved the court system. She loved the fight. She loved the whole thing. And when she looked at me and said, hey, babe, I'll meet you in court, what she meant was, I'll meet you in my playground. For me, it was an opportunity to either go up or down. See, when we go into that field of wildflowers, there are beauties and joys in there. There are, endless. But what happens is we get hung up on the thorns. We get hung up on that moment. And who knew at that time that all of life was one thing, right? There's a Chinese sage, and he says this when people used to ask him, tell us what happiness is. Tell us what happiness is. Okay, we're going back 1,400 years. He said, I'll tell you what happiness is. You want happiness, he said? You want harmony? Say this. Not two. Meaning, there's only one thing going on. There's only ever one thing going on. Everything is one thing. And when we know that everything is one thing, that even life and your life is one thing, that God and you is one thing, that the experience of Mother Teresa and your experience with your lousy next door neighbor who won't turn his music down after 12 o'clock in the evening is one thing. And that one thing is life moving you, oh man, to your wholeness. I mean, think about how we're going to have to revisit the thorns and the grievances once we understand that every one of those moments in time where a thorn pricked us and we bled real blood, real heartbreak. This isn't to diminish that it wasn't real heartbreak. Of course it's real heartbreak, but every one of those instances was an inciting incident to move you, to push you, to press you. For those of you who might be churchgoers, I'll give it to you in biblical terms. Listen to this line: the Lord will make you abound in prosperity. Life's gonna make you live your fullest life, live your better story. Life's gonna make you be who you came here to be. Life's gonna move you, the Tao says, because Easterners are far less intense than Westerners. It's going to press you. It's gonna press you into the story you're meant to lead, and the thorns are part of that story. Now, what happened? I spent, I don't know how long retelling that story. Here I am, like 30 years later, I'm still telling it, right? But I'm telling it with a different point of view, thank God, or else the room would be empty. And the different point of view is, I used to go around and tell everybody my sad story and say, can you believe what a bitch this person was? And I couldn't wait until they said, no, I can't. That's horrible. And that was like, oh, it just sent me into just a shiver. And you know, you feel it's like, yes, right, weren't they? And you're so happy that they're feeling it too. And together, you're just feeling the grievance and you're dripping with the juice of how fabulous it is that we both hate her. Whoa, two people, wherever two or more gathered in my name, were thinking, now maybe some bad juju's gonna happen to her. Don't we use that? We say, well, what goes around comes around. We know that law, right, for other people, right? We hope it's not true for us, but we hope it's true for other people. I went around, I told everybody my sad story, and you know what? From the day I started telling that story of my life, my greater story, stopped. That's why they say on the other side of grievances, and we need to understand this because we think I got a real grievance. They really did this to me. They're all real. Our hearts were broken. We did bleed. But if we understand that everything is one thing, we must begin to wrap our head around that, even though it seems foreign and weird and wrong, especially because we don't want to let them off the hook, because that's our first thought. Oh, what, I have to let them off the hook? That means they get off the hook? This has nothing to do with them. This has to do with us. We're letting ourselves off the hook. Why? Because a part of our better story, our life story, the great story of our life, why we're here, who we are, that all of life is pressing us, helping us, moving us into stops. And we put on that engagement ring, and now we put on those broken glasses, and everywhere we look, we see her, we see the hurt memory of her, we feel the injury of what she did. She betrayed me. I can't trust anybody ever again. I'm never going to let love in like that. What a fool I was. How innocent. And the next thing you know, with those broken glasses going all around our life, we have made a series of decisions where we are now so well protected that no thorn is ever going to get near me again. And you know what happens? We're so safe in that place, and we're so shut down. A part of us is so dead. That juice of life stopped moving. Why? Because we're not going to go into the field of wildflowers, which is our life, our new job, where we want to move, who we want to be with, what we want to say, what we want to write, what we're here to do. We're not going to do that because in the field of wildflowers, we might be pricked and we might bleed. And you know what? I'm not an idiot. That's not going to happen to me a second time. Now, that's a valid story, but it's a boring story. Here's why. The Chinese say when you begin with blame, there is no end to the blame. That's going to be the story. When we are carrying around a story immersed in blame, where the theme is blame, where we are the victim and we have been wronged, When we carry that story and make that our story, that's our story. And we will build a whole story around the grievance. That's what we do. Why? Because the broken ego, the broken part of ourself that doesn't know who it is, the part of ourself that thinks we're a wave but has no idea we're connected, no idea it is living inside of an ocean and it is made up of what the ocean is made of. The whole story that is written by the son of the shepherd is going to be such a tiny, sad story that it's not going to be a story at all. We might get to the end of our life with nobody ever hurting us again, but we're going to get to the end of our life with nobody ever touching us again. Because life can't come in now, because we're smarter than that. And with my fractured glasses, I looked ridiculous. I wouldn't walk out and let people see me like that. But that's how we walk out when we put those glasses on and we follow the voice inside of ourselves that said all this life is about protecting yourself or defending yourself against attack. And if we're in that story, we are following the story of the smallest part of our nature that's broken. And whatever it shows us is going to be something broken. An amazing thing happened. I took the glasses off. As soon as I took the glasses off, the world did not look broken, nor did I. I looked in the mirror and there I was in my wholeness. I put them back on and there I was in my shatteredness. And I took them back off and there I was in my wholeness. See, we don't have to go away to a faraway land and study with a guru and become somebody that we're not in order to get to this place. If that were so, then we'd need to have a lot of money, we'd need to have a lot of time, we'd need to have a lot of desire and will. What we're told is in this moment, you can take those glasses off, and the only place you can take them off is in the moment. So in the book, The Prayer Chest, when Joseph was reading about what the prayer chest was, he was asked, listen to this line, single line. Trust that there is nothing more important in your life at this moment than to learn the secret of the prayer chest. And what is that, the foundation of our life? Nothing. If you turn out to be a skeptical man as I once was, then you shall understand the question I put to Grandma Mary, who was the matriarch in this line, who passed down the teachings about how life works through how prayer works. And he said, is learning the secret more important than putting out a fire in my home, Grandma? And she answered, especially if you are putting out a fire in your home. Why? Because when a fire comes, it's an inciting incident. The Dalai Lama says we're either going to go up or down. How we deal with the inciting incident is the next step. It's how we're writing our story. Literally, in that moment, with your house burning down, with you being fired, with you being lonely, with your wallet being empty, whatever it might be, in that moment is the inciting incident, and it is calling you to write a better story. But who are you going to give the pen to? And we can give the pen to the part of our nature that is broken, that sees itself as separate, so that we can make a different choice. Or you take the pen and you go up and you put it into the hands of the part of you that takes the glasses off. Do you know what I say more times a day than I care to tell you? Is my broken ego is showing me a broken world. That's my line. It's such a fabulous line. My broken ego is showing me a broken world. It's showing me a broken person. It's showing me a broken remembrance. It's showing me a broken incident. It's showing me a broken me. And when I do that, when you do that, you don't have to fix your ego. That day is not going to come. You don't have to make the wave into something it's not. It's the wave. It's our smaller nature, the part that doesn't know who it truly is, any more than last week the son of the shepherd could even hardly believe that he had been born the son of a king. We don't even believe what we're listening to sometimes in rooms like this or in books like this. It seems fantastical, and yet we are that. We utterly, utterly. For thousands of years, every teacher has said the identical thing. Everything is one thing. Be that one thing that you are, because you can't be two. See, through the broken glasses, nobody's our friend. Just like that show in The Twilight Zone, never. The woman's with her husband, she was assaulted, and they're driving in the car. Remember Rod Serling driving in the car, and it's dark, and all you see is him and her. And it turns out they're looking for the guy, and they're going down the street, and down the street, is that him? Is that him? No, that's is that him? And finally she goes, that's him. So he gets out of the car, you don't see what happens, you know he's kind of beat the guy up or killed him or something, gets back in the car, he's feeling fabulous, they're driving home, and she goes, that's him. It's her! It's her! Everybody she's going to see is going to be him. And you could just see him just realizing that there was going to be no end to the hymns now that she had been stuck by this thorn. We're wearing the glasses. And in order to move our story along to write a better story, we have got to do what that general did last week, which is burn the ship of dependence. And we don't do it all at once. We do it each time, each moment, each day. That portion of our nature says, that's broken. He's broken. Look what they did. Look what happened there. And we end up in a downslide of blame, which we never are going to get to the other side of that list of grievances. What's on the other side of the list? Our miracles. Miracles. My grievances hide the miracles of my life. If you're looking for your miracles, the next time you look through the broken glasses, say this. You can say not to, but I mean, I like teaching that, but I've actually never in my life said not to, not to. It's just, it's not, I don't know, it doesn't have the same thing. But to say my broken ego in this moment is showing me a broken world. My broken ego is showing me a broken interchange. My broken ego, and you know what that does? The only part of you that can say that is the ocean to the wave, is the bigger self to the smaller self, is the greater self to the little self. And when we can do that and even begin to say it once a day, you're going to put a little breathing space between you and that part of your nature that will write for you, if you give it your pen, the smallest story of your life, that by the end of it, you yourself are not even going to want to read the last chapters. Enough said.